It has been a necessary and blessed reminder that in the midst of all of this turmoil and chaos going on around us, that God is indeed with us. He has not left us. He has not forsaken us. He is right here where he has been all the time. So we can be thankful for that. I invite you to turn this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, starting in chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 12, finding joy for the journey. And what a journey it has been this year. Nobody told us to put on our seatbelts ahead of time, and they should have. And I imagine that at some point along the way, during this journey, everyone has struggled at some point to find joy. That it has, if not been lost, been misplaced, has been redirected, has been buried underneath the cares and the burdens and the worries and the struggles that we have been facing. And Jesus wants us to have joy in the journey, even if the journey is tumultuous, even if the journey is difficult, even if the journey has its challenges that we have been faced with. And the world in which Jesus came into was certainly filled with a lot of challenges and many difficulties. He was coming into a world that had a despicably wicked ruler in King Herod, coming into a world that was anticipating through prophecy his coming for hundreds of years, and was awaiting the coming of the Messiah. And even as they were waiting, they were perhaps looking for him and to come in a way that was different than the way that he promised he would come. And so in this journey that the Magi took in finding Jesus, as they found Jesus, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And that's what I want us to capture again this morning, is the ability to be able to find joy in the journey. If perhaps you've lost it along the way, if perhaps it has been diminished somehow, I want us to recapture that, even in the midst of difficult times, and to hold on to it, because it is not only one of the great themes of Scripture and of Advent, it is also one of the fruit of the Spirit, and it is necessary for us to find and to keep that joy in order for us to walk in a way that is going to help us to move forward in the path of faith and in the Christian life. So I believe that there are three ways that we can find joy in the journey, and I believe that we will find those in the journey that were taken by the Magi. And so if we can turn our attention to Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 1, reading as follows. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who had been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. How do we find joy in the journey? First, we find joy in the journey when we are clear what we are seeking. I believe that verse 10 is the pivotal verse in this passage of Scripture because it documents their response when they saw the star. The Scripture says in verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Talk about a joy that was bubbling over. What a description. Rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Isn't that a place that we want to live? We want to live at a place where we can rejoice exceedingly with great joy. Not just have a little sliver of joy, but to have it bubbling over in our lives. That's what happened when they saw the star. To get to the joy that they found in verse 10, they had to take a journey. And it began with the Magi, the wise men. Who were they? Some believe that they were kings, and we sing, "We three kings of Orient are." Some understand them to be astrologers, magicians. Some believe them to perhaps have been part of a priestly caste that came from the Persians and the Babylonians. And what they were is they were experts in the study of the stars. And when they saw his star, whether that star was a convergence of the planets, we've been hearing in the news about how Jupiter and Saturn are coming together, and there's some discussion that perhaps a third planet was involved back then with Mars, making it look like one big star. It could have been some new astronomical event that had happened that they saw that wasn't there before that caught their attention. And the interesting part of it is, as we read the Scripture, is that it moved to be able to get them to the location where they needed to be. So whatever it was, the Magi, the wise men, knew that it was important. They were able to recognize its significance. And so much so that they went around asking where the King of the Jews was. And in the reading I've done, the impression I get is they weren't just asking one or two people. It was sort of like everybody they saw, they were asking, "Where is he who's been born King of the Jews? Hey, you, do you know where the King of the Jews has been born? Hey, you over there, where has he been born?" So everybody that they saw, they were constantly asking, trying to find out the answer, trying to find out where Jesus, the King of the Jews, had been born. They connected the star with the king. "For we saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." They knew what they were seeking. They were seeking Jesus. And how desperately we need to have joy in the journey. We find joy in the journey when we are clear what we are seeking. We need to always be seeking Jesus. We need to be seeking him and looking for him and finding him and following him. That is where we will find our joy. Calvin Miller, wonderful author from decades past, passed away a few years ago, wrote a wonderful book entitled The Taste of Joy. And he, if you've never read any of his books, I would encourage you to find some of them and to read them. He's a very profound author. And he talks about the struggle that we have sometimes to find joy because of where we're seeking it. He said, in my infantile Christianity, it became a struggle to find happiness in the world around me. Everyone was seeking happiness inside and outside the church. The secular world was hungry for it too. In my childhood, the quote-unquote somebody sisters had sung the intriguing invitation, "Forget your troubles, come on, get happy." This song also bore the surface truth that if you can forget your troubles, you will likely get happy. But the song was based on a fallacy that people can generate happiness as an act of the will. I could see what those without Christ could not, that self-generated contentment, the spastic, and punctuated by hangovers of insecurity and despair. Joy is not a matter of simple will, or all the world would have it. He goes on to write that many Christians often confuse happiness with joy. Happiness is that buoyant emotion that results from the momentary plateaus of well-being that characterized our lives. Joy is bedrock stuff, on the other hand. Joy is a confidence that operates irrespective of our moods. Joy is the certainty that all is well, however we feel. If we are to find that joy that exceeds plain happiness, that joy that reminds us that certainty that all is well, however we feel, we need to be clear what we're seeking. We need to be seeking Jesus. That's exactly what they were seeking. Where is he who had been born King of the Jews? For he saw his star, we saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. We're seeking Jesus. And as believers, that is what we want. That is what we strive for. Let's seek Jesus. In doing so, we will find joy for the journey. We find joy in the journey when we're clear what we're seeking. And we find joy in the journey when we know where to look to find it. Though the scripture says that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the Magi ended up in Jerusalem. It would have been natural for them to end up in Jerusalem. It was the capital of Israel, so to speak. It was the place where people would go to find out information and to look for people. It would be the logical place to find, or at least to inquire, about the King of the Jews. And so the scripture says that they arrived in Jerusalem asking that question. And King Herod found out about it. If there anything was happening in Jerusalem and anybody was asking anything, the king was going to find out about it eventually. And the scripture says that he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. That word for troubled is a word that means disturbed, or he was in turmoil, or he was terrified and greatly agitated. He was just enraged that somebody was coming looking for the King of the Jews and might usurp his authority as king. And so Herod called the chief priests and the scribes to inquire where he would be. And so they lay out the scripture to him in verse 5. After he says, where's the Messiah going to be born? In Bethlehem of Judea, according to the prophets. Isn't it interesting how in this passage of scripture, the chief priests and the scribes confirm the prophecy of Jesus? Even though they didn't believe Jesus to be the prophet, they confirmed the prophecy about Jesus. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, and by no means left among the leaders of Judah. They go on to talk about Jesus. That's where they're going to find him, in Bethlehem. And so through that knowledge of prophecy, Bethlehem is confirmed as the place, and Herod sent them to the right place to find Jesus. He says, go to Bethlehem and search for him, and when you have found him, report back to me, because I'd love to worship him too. Yeah, they didn't believe that for a minute. That's why they took the back door after they found him. Even they could figure out that King Herod wasn't interested in worshiping him because God told them that. They had to go to the right place. They had to know where to look to find the joy that they were seeking. They had to be able to get to Bethlehem. They had to be able to get to the Christ child. They had to be able to find him. There was an old song a number of years ago that was entitled, or one of the lines was, "Looking for love in all the wrong places." Unfortunately, the world does that and so much more. Looking for love, joy, peace, contentment, happiness in all the wrong places. Looking for it in people, looking for it in substances, looking for it in money, looking for it in greed, looking for it in success. They look to find happiness. They look to find what they understand to be joy in all of the wrong places. And we know that that doesn't work out. We know that we find our joy and we find our contentment and we find our peace in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Consider the scripture in Ecclesiastes, starting in chapter 3, verse 12. "I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime. Moreover, that every man who eats and drinks sees good in all his labor. It is the gift of God. For I know that everything God does will remain forever. There is nothing to add to it, and there is nothing to take away from it. For God has so worked that men should fear him. That which is has already has been already, and that which will has already been, for God seeks what has passed by. No, there is nothing better for them than to rejoice." That whole book of Ecclesiastes was a book on the futility of labor and the futility of seeking after all of these things and realizing that none of those things will satisfy. And unfortunately, that's what the world is seeking around us. It is seeking to find satisfaction in places where it will not satisfy. And we understand and we know that we find our joy in Jesus Christ. We find our satisfaction in him. We will find joy for the journey when we know where to look to find it. We don't need to be going and poking around in other places looking for joy when we know that Jesus will bring us joy. We know that Christ will bring us joy. C.S. Lewis wrote these profound words. He said, "We are half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea." Let's look for joy in the right places. As we're traveling through this journey, full of its ups and downs, full of its challenges, full of its difficulties this year, we will find joy in the journey when we are clear what we are seeking. And we will find joy in the journey when we know where to look to find it. And then finally, we will find joy in the journey when we worship and give. As Herod sent them on their journey, his intent obviously was to find them so that he could kill him. But the wise men went with a different purpose. They found the star, they followed the star and rejoiced, and they fell down and they worshiped him. Imagine what a journey that was. I believe the distance from Bethlehem to Jerusalem was about 5 miles. And so it was a little bit of a journey to get there. But they knew they had a purpose. They saw the star. They knew that something special had happened. And they followed that star. And when they got there, they fell down and they worshiped. Imagine what that was like, to just simply fall in the presence of the King of Kings and to worship him. Fell to the ground and worshiped him. And then because of that joy, they worshiped, and then they gave. They had brought gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, and they offered them to the Christ child. I believe that joy and worship work together in kind of a cycle. The scripture says that then when they found him, they were filled with exceedingly great joy. And when they found him and with that great joy, they fell down and they worshiped him and they gave to him. And then I imagine that when they fell down and worshiped him and gave, that led to greater joy. And then that greater joy leads to greater worship. And you see how that works. When we are filled with joy, we'll want to worship Jesus. And when we worship Jesus and we give to him, it fills us with joy. That leads us to worship. That fills us with joy. It's a constant repeating, refilling cycle. And it starts by knowing where we need to seek. We need to seek Jesus. We need to find Jesus. And when we do that, and the joy comes, we worship and we give, and it once again renews and refills us with joy. And it will lead back to worship. We find joy for the journey when we worship and when we give. We have those opportunities. James Guthrie from Scotland is one of numerous people who over the centuries has died for his faith. And in this case, he went to the scaffold because of his faith in Christ. In telling one of his story, the author writes, James Guthrie ever kept through his busy life his own personal fellowship with Christ in the fresh, joyous bloom of his new birth as if he had been but a young convert. That's a great place to be. Waking about 4 a.m. on the day he was to be executed, Guthrie spent time in personal worship and was asked by his friend, James Cowie, how he felt. Very well, replied Guthrie. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That's the place I want to be every day. When I wake up, regardless of what that day might hold, I can say with all sincerity and love for Jesus, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let me rejoice and be glad in it. And we will not find that anywhere else but Jesus. Nothing the world has to offer will even come close to satisfying the longing of our hearts like Jesus will. Where are you in that journey? Are you able to find Jesus in the midst of that journey? Are you finding joy in the midst of the journey? That joy starts with Jesus himself. Having accepted him as Savior and Lord, placing our faith and trust in him, that the price that he paid to sacrifice for our sins, that we are forgiven and we have an eternity for him, waiting for us through him. And that our joy might be made complete in him each and every day. Perhaps during the midst of this journey, some of that joy has been lost along the way. It happens. It can happen. This time we call our invitation, it's time to invite Christ to come and to say, where do I need to help you refill your joy? Where do I need to help you find that joy again? Take this opportunity to come pray at the altar, to pray, turn, pray with someone if you need to. Come and pray here at the altar. I'll be glad to pray with you. Pray with somebody next to you. Just pray where you are and say, Lord, help me to restore the joy that I need in my life as I walk through this journey. It's my desire to see us find joy in this journey. And it's a tough journey sometimes. And this year has brought out about every difficult time that we can think of and made them seem 1,000 times worse. And that's just with COVID. It's not counting anything else that has been happening personally above and beyond that. My prayer is, let's find joy for the journey, that we might say every day, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Let's pray. Father, it can be difficult at times to continue to maintain the joy that filled our hearts when Jesus came into our hearts. Circumstances and trials and difficulties, the burdens of life, weigh us down. And perhaps, Father, we come with some of that weight on our shoulders today. Perhaps we come with the weight of unforgiven sin. Perhaps we come with the realization that we've not yet accepted Christ as Savior and Lord. Maybe we've come with the burdens of the day weighing us, slowly taking that joy away from us. Father, this invitation is an opportunity for you to come in and to renew and refresh our lives and to fill it once again with that glorious joy that is ours in Christ Jesus. Father, through your Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts and lead us to respond, Father, that we might walk out of here with that deep assurance of joy, even if the challenges around us haven't changed. Thank you for the joy of Christ. These things we ask in His name. Amen.